to 79. Lundquist was standing on Newton Alley, a foot to the right of the spot where John Vanderkamp had died, exactly where Jesse had asked him to wait in the message he'd left on his phone. The Stady was a few minutes early for his meeting, but kept checking his watch. At precisely 9, Jesse stepped out of the door of the Pembroke Gallery and stood to Lundquist's left. "What's this about, Jesse?" Jesse looked at his watch and said, "You're about to find out. Pay close attention." With that, Jesse removed a firecracker from his pocket, lit it, and tossed it a few feet in front of him. In the second or two it took for the fuse to burn down and for the firecracker to explode, two things happened. Jesse unholstered his 9mm, and Molly appeared at the opposite end of Newton Alley. She lit a string of firecrackers, tossing them. That's when the narrow, dead-end street exploded with noise. Jesse's firecracker blew, bang. Molly's blew, bang, 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 bang. Jesse fell to the pavement, the tiny bits of clam and oyster shell locked in the asphalt glistening in the morning sun. He dropped his 9mm at his side. As Lundquist wheeled to his left to see if Jesse was all right, he was shocked to see another man wearing a combat hood kneeling over Jesse. The hooded man picked up Jesse's sidearm, tucked it into his waistband, and grabbed a knotted rope that extended from the roof of the old carriage house warehouse down to the pavement. Before Lundquist could even react, the hooded man had climbed halfway up to the roof. And before Lundquist could pull his weapon, the hooded man had disappeared over the roof ledge, the knotting rope vanishing soon after. When Lundquist turned back around, Molly was racing down the street toward him, and Jesse was standing up, brushing off his clothing. "That's how it happened," Jesse said to Lundquist. "Vanderkamp had a weapon. He did fire on Alicia first." Jesse turned and looked up at the warehouse roof and pointed. "That's why no one found a gun when they checked the crime scene. And that's why the setup had Vanderkamp at a range, shooting before this went down." With the gun disappeared, the only explanation for GSR on the body would be that he'd been at the range. Pretty solid plan. It almost worked. "It still might, Jesse," Lundquist said. "This was a very fancy demo, but it proves only that it could have happened this way, not that it did." Molly, slightly out of breath, said, "Come on, Brian. This is how it happened, and in your gut you know it." "My gut isn't proof, Molly. None of this is." "If I had a more solid case," Jesse said, "I would have played this out in front of Weld and the DA. The thing I may need is help from you." "You're kidding me, right, Jesse? You have to be. I've got 3 murders to deal with in the town surrounding Paradise, and you're asking me to help you possibly step on the toes of the DA and interfere with the investigation of 4, Jesse said. "For what?" "I believe there have been 4 murders, and they're all related," Jesse turned to Molly. "Go to the station, queue up the video footage, and make another copy of the soldier's service jacket. We'll be there soon, but first there's something I need to show Brian."